Deacon Smith.
Sir.
We'll read our second chapter, verses 1 through 7 of Revelation, if you don't mind, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
The second chapter, verses 1 through 7 of Revelation.
Thank you, Lord. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, mm-hmm. who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
Yes.
I know thy works, mm-hmm. and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not,
mm-hmm.
and have found them liars,
yeah.
and hast borne mm-hmm. and hast patience,
mm-hmm.
and for my name's sake has labored
mm-hmm.
and has not fainted.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee,
mm-hmm.
because thou hast left thy first love.
Yeah.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And repent mm-hmm. and do the first works,
yeah.
or else I will come unto thee quickly
mm-hmm.
and will remove thy candlestick out of this place,
mm-hmm.
except thou repent.
Mm-hmm.
But thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans,
mm-hmm.
which I also hate.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life,
yes.
which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, sometimes we are afraid to just say right what it is. Call it what it is.
All right.
You know, we like to
butter
in
it
our
up.
Church.
There
you
sugar
go. It. Butter it up. Sugarcoat it. You know, this here is not sugarcoat. What we just read shows that God don't sugarcoat. He tells you what
it is.
It is. And he expects you to what? Fall in line.
Yeah.
That's what God works.
Obey.
And some people don't like that. Because today, we all try to get along.
Come on now.
Try to make it easy. Oh, but that ain't that bad. See, that's not God. Yeah, God is true. God is true. We just don't want to fit where God fits at. And see, one thing about God, I call it a one-horse show. You either on it or you're not.
That's right.
You can't be halfway said, I'm a born-again believer, and I believe what God says, and then have your foot in the mud messing around with the devil. Can't do it. Don't work that way. We have to be real with God, because God going to be real with us.
For sure.
He's saying. There's a whole lot of people going to hell who you would never think going to hell.
My Lord.
Telling you now, it's a whole lot of grandmothers that you thought was, oh, but they were playing two sides of the fence. God don't play that. Don't play that. We give all the respect and all that stuff, but God don't play that. God has a line drawn in the sand.
In or out?
Either in it or you're not. Somebody said that I came to church. I came the wrong Sunday. I sure wanted to hear how great I am, and not how good God is.
Come on.
How strict God is. I came to hear somebody just tell me
nice.
That God loves me. I know He loves you.
Yes, He does.
But God hates sin. Mm-hmm. There's no playground there. So I'm going to try to
take your time, sir.
Not hurt nobody's feelings.
It's you
I'm
late.
Lay down the word, God.
Lay down the word, sir.
We must be as children of God in a constant situation of our lives. You have to be that with God. In other words, it's almost like you have to prepare for a test in school.
Come on.
You know, you had to keep up with the material. You can't wait for the test that day to get prepared. You got to get prepared day in and day out. Read your lessons. Do your homework.
Come on.
Am I right? Am I right there? We got to be ready for our homework. We got to, because the test day is coming, the big test. And you don't get redo.
No.
Military, you do something fail, they do a redo. You don't get no redo with God. You either get it right or you get it wrong.
Amen.
And I don't know where you stand, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
See, I tell you, when I preach sermons like this, I know that I'm talking to my children. They're not even here.
Uh-huh.
But it makes me go back at them and say some more stuff. Get them mad all over again. Him back in the room. Jesus told the seven churches of his evaluation in here. He said, I know thy works.
Come on.
And thy labor and thy patience. First, he knows your works. Mm-hmm. So if he knew their works then, do you think he knows your works
come
now?
Come on, man.
He wasn't there. He wasn't there physically as Jesus. He was there in the spirit. And he told John the Baptist. He told John the Apostle. He said, look, write this to the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. Write this story to them. All the churches had something going on, but some were better than others, but they all had something
going on.
Solid Rock might be doing some good things, but we got something going on that ain't right.
Come on.
We all fall short. So if the people fall short, then the church is falling short. Because we are the church. Somebody said, we do good here. We might do good, but we're missing.
Something.
We're missing some stuff. That's why we don't have a whole lot of young people, because we're missing some stuff.
That's so true, sir.
That's all it tells us. See, our church reveals who we are. We don't have our second generation coming in because we're missing some stuff. They we can't put all the blame on them. It's something that we ain't doing too.
Come on.
We ain't talking about him enough. We ain't showing enough love. We're not imitating God enough. We're missing some stuff, man. Y'all. Because we are human. But when we're wrong, we need to recognize and we need to look under the cracks and see, well, what can I do better here? What's wrong here? How much prayer have I been doing lately? Have I been talking to God on a regular basis? Have I looked at the issue and said, Lord, help me to do better here? Or I just said, Lord, just take care of it. Old folks, you say, Lord, take charge.
Yes.
Where am I at? So we see here, Jesus said to them, I know thy works and thy labor. So I know how much labor you're doing for me. Evaluate yourself. How much labor are you doing for the Lord? Come on now. And look, here's one thing about it, church. We can be 90 years old, but we can still tell somebody
about
Jesus loves me. And he loves you too. I don't care how old you get, you can do something for the Lord. Ain't that the way he works? Long as you got a voice.
Come on.
Matter of fact, I remember reading a story years ago where there was somebody in China where they did not allow Christian faith to to survive. And there was a man there that had was a quadriplegic.
Look.
And all he would do when he had no voice, barely a voice, he couldn't understand what he said, was the whispers.
My Lord.
But whenever somebody mentioned the name of Jesus, his eyes would blink and the tears would flow down his eyes.
Mm.
And it knew
Zang
that somebody heard Jesus.
Yeah.
And whenever he heard that name, his eyes just blinked again, the tears start to flow.
Zang Lee.
He couldn't speak.
Amen.
He couldn't hear, but all he couldn't hear, but that's all he could do. And he would blink his eyes and tears would fall because he loved Jesus so much. He's working. He's working for Jesus. He ain't got to go nowhere. He's working for Jesus. He's laboring for the Lord. So the question is, when we do our evaluation, are we being honest with ourselves? Are we doing the best we can? Or barely
the curve,
little at all.
God, no.
Where are we? Somebody listening to me, I know. He says, I also know thy patience.
Yes.
Because see, one thing about people, one thing about older people, especially, I'll put it this way, our patience sometimes gets thinner sooner. Especially after we've been telling somebody over and over again. Am I right, Deacon Jackson? After we've told our children, our sons, just stop writing, we get tired of saying over and over again, and they get angry with us, and we say, well, I'm going to leave you alone for a while. I'm going to leave you alone for a while. We just got to keep on praying. And he said to them, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So God saw how the evilness affected his church. That's what he saw here, the church of Ephesus. He saw how the people could not bear people doing evil. We fall in that category. We who are Christians here don't like somebody being done wrong. Every one of us don't like it. We might not do nothing about it, but we don't like it. So he's saying here that they cannot bear them which are evil. And it says, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles.
Come on.
See, that's one of my things today. I stomp my feet with that apostle stuff.
Yeah.
I get angry with it. I say, why are you lying? Learn what the book says about being an apostle. All these people, what happened? 20 years ago, you didn't hear nobody be an apostle, did you?
No.
But now all you hear in the Pentecostal church is all these apostles. Where they come from? That's what I'm saying. That was the devil.
Yes, sir.
They weren't there before. How come they come right now? And it's right against the word of God. This was written as if, I know they're coming, y'all. Wait, here they come. And we saw them coming in our generation. And most of us, some of us are joining church with these apostles. You shouldn't be going to church with them men, because they're lying.
All right.
You're going there sitting up, you're just as bad as they are. Listen to them and all the stuff they're saying. And most of them think they got some kind of prophecy gift.
Yeah.
Always telling you what God told you, what he told them to tell you. But like God can't talk to me. Somebody help me now. Do I have any apostles in here? He says, they're not apostles. What he says here? And has found them to be liars. Call them what they are.
Yes,
they're liars. And yet everybody's going to their churches. Now they even got what they call the great apostles.
Come on.
Like they can't get high enough. The great apostles. You know, it's crazy.
The great.
So it tells us that we have to be on the lookout. We have to be looking very carefully and looking and seeing what's true and what's not. If you're not evaluating your life and what's around you, then you're not doing the work of God. I don't care that you say that, well, at least they're not in our church, but you got to tell somebody don't be in there with them. Because a lot of people don't look, don't read the word.
Right.
Come on.
You know Joyce Myers?
Yeah.
You heard of her? She don't call herself no apostle. I'm not saying she does. But here's what I heard her say. I never knew that women, the Bible said that women couldn't be preachers. She said, I never knew that. She's been preaching for 30 years. And she said, I never knew that the Bible says that a woman could not be preachers. But listen here. I want you to listen to me. And you want to turn to it. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. I just want you to read this because I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it a lot. I have to deal with it. Not much as I used to, but there was a time I dealt with it a lot. I deal with it now still. Was that 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter?
Mm-hmm.
2:12, I think it is. Yeah, look what it says. If you got it, 1 Timothy 2:12. But it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now see, somebody says, so, she can't say nothing because he's in silence. It doesn't say that. It's talking about using the word. But we know that Moses' sister led the church in song. So singing was okay. So they weren't to be silent, but it's their word to be teacher over men.
That's right.
They teach their children, but they want to be teachers over men.
Right.
And you can make that up and make it do all you want, but I'm talking about what the word says. And she said, I didn't know this, but we just read that. And she's leading a congregation of people, men and women. It has no discerning spirit of the word of God. How do you do such a thing? That shows that you know you shouldn't be there. See, I believe you're lying from the beginning saying you didn't know. I believe somebody told you, but you just had a hard spirit about it and said, no, I know what God told me. That's what I hear. I got a cousin that's a preacher, female preacher. Before she got called or before she took the offering, she's a Methodist. Before she took it, she called me up. Said, Reverend, says, cousin, what should I do about this? I said, well, the Bible says we shouldn't be none. She said, but I felt the Lord called me. I said, what did he say to you? I can't tell you all that, but he called me. I said, okay, then something's wrong. Because if he called you, you'd be willing to tell me what he told you. You see, I know it's a lie. And then when she gets in trouble, she calls me and says, Rev, can you help me out with this? I ain't gonna vibe with you. Because you know who you are. You're a pretender. You don't like that. She don't call me no more. Because people don't want to hear the truth. And the truth makes them mad. That says that if the truth makes you mad, it makes the devil mad. So whose side are you on? Speak for yourself, doesn't it? He says, verse 3, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not failed. In other words, God expects us to maintain the course of staying strong with him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get weak. Don't faint. Don't get tired. Don't get weary in what well doing. But do what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I know sometimes it wears you down. Trying to do what God said, but do what God say do. Sometimes it's not popular when doing what God say do. People get mad at you sometimes. Frustrated with you. But it's important for you to hang in there and stay on the right side of truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because God has for you a place for you. Those who love the truth of God. All churches, now this is seven churches, which represented the, I guess the whole world, known world at the time, yes. So these seven churches all were symbolic of some weaknesses and some strengths, the same way we have today. But all churches have three dimensions. This is what I got to bring to you. They have three things that a church has to have, that has to be looking at and examining as it's trying to be what God calls it to be. The church has first individuals. You and I think differently. But see, the more we read the word, the more our thinking what?
Comes together.
Comes together. The more we read the word. Now, if you don't read the word, then what? And I don't read the word, then our thinking will be everywhere. But if the word is guiding our thinking,
come on,
we become a real fine point.
Come on.
So the truth is consistent. So in order for us to be individuals in the church, first we must be aligned with the word of God.
Amen.
We must be with the word in season and out season.
Amen.
We must be studying to show ourselves approved. A work we need not be ashamed of what? Rightly dividing the truth of God.
Thank you.
That's what God wants us.
Amen.
We cannot be in one piece and in harmony if we don't have the word of God directing our pathway. Uh-huh. I would say this, church, and I want you to pat yourself on the back. The reason why Solid Rock has this far been able to seem to have a certain amount of peace about it is because the percentage of our church that are Bible students. You hear what I'm saying? Our church, at this point, we're running somewhere around 30 people. That was a time when we was about 45, 50. But right now, we're running about 30 people. And when we ran about, say, 35 on a regular services, then sometimes we would get up to 40. When we were running in that category, then our Bible studies was running about 12 people. So that's about 30-some percent, almost 40%. When I told the association that our percentage was 35, 40% Bible study, they said, wow. Most churches are 10, 12%.
Yeah.
We were up around 35, 40. People who are in the Bible study. I didn't even include Sunday school, but see, they include Sunday school with theirs as extra teaching. Sunday school and Bible study, they kind of grouped them because they had what they call groups. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
So they kind of put those together. But I just gave them our Bible study numbers. And I said, you got that? I said, that's what we have. Mm-hmm. They said, you must have a powerful church. Yes, we do.
Amen.
We have people who love the word of God in this place. That's why we are able to do, as a small body, an effective ministry.
Amen.
Now, I know we've slowed down with this COVID thing, and it hit us, and it took us to a reel, but we ain't giving up yet.
No, sir.
Mm-mm.
We're still in the business.
All right, then.
Let me interject this why I'm saying that, because when I fed on Friday here, I'm not getting much food from the school these days like I used to get.
Uh-huh.
Brother Bell, we used to get sometimes 12, 15 boxes, sometimes 18. We don't get that kind now. It's because the food plan is different at the school because of what's going on with COVID. So, and they can't get the normal supplies in regularly, so they have to go to locally and try to maneuver stuff. So they don't have as much food. So I take it over there to the folk, and I'm only coming with 3-4 boxes, and I have to split it up with a handful of this, handful of that, handful of this. But they're happy with what they're getting. But the question is, what happened was, there was a refrigerator that we used to use at one of the places
In that one.
In that with a, yes, in the room there, there's a place where we put food in to give them so they can come anytime and get it. Well, the refrigerator went down, and it's no longer there. So the Lord is trying to give me some ideas of what we need to do. We're not going to buy a brand new refrigerator. Church ain't doing that. But the church is going to try to find an accommodating place to keep food in. Because see, what happens is people are turning over in those places. And they come there, a lot of them come there and got nothing. Right. But at least they can go in there and get got food to feed a family in.
Sure.
So we're trying to get somebody to repair. We got a freezer that I want to get repaired by my friend. Hopefully he'll do it for us. And we'll put that in there. And it's a freezer that's pretty big, but that wide, but that tall. So we're working on that.
Amen.
And so God is good. But I'm just saying that these things happen. And we still got to still keep these people in mind that are suffering, that are going through rough times, and don't know where their next meal's coming from. But they look at you, a church, can you help me?
Yes,
we can help. We got the word of God.
Yes.
We can help. We can give you the word, and we can give you something to eat, too. Amen?
Amen.
So I just wanted you to know that we're still in the business of blessing. We're still in the business of serving. All right, I said three dimensions. The first is the individuals. The next is we belong to a family outside of this church. All of us have our own individual family. We're pulled by our individual families to a lot degree. What's going on in their lives affects us tremendously.
Amen.
And so it might even interfere with what I do here because I got so much on the outside. But that's your first ministry. You hear what I just said?
Yes.
That's your first ministry. Your children, your grandchildren, your family, that's your first ministry.
Yes, sir.
What you do to them is how also God is evaluating you. Because see, one thing about church people, is, especially in our own families, our patience wears quick. Am I right or wrong? We ain't got much time for our family doing stupid stuff. We can tolerate somebody else. Well, that's on them. But our family, we got a problem when they start acting dumb.
Come on.
My. I didn't expect you to do that. I just didn't expect you. You surprised me again.
Come on.
Man, but I tell you, there's nothing like that family support that we get, that we provide for our families. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. My wife and I have friends that are dealing with grown daughters. Two of them are both going through medical problems. One of them has two children and a husband going through really difficult times right now. We're praying for them. The other one is dealing with some other issues with her brain, which would pass out. So they're dealing with rough stuff. So, and that mother and father are right on target.
Mm-hmm.
And they're as if their children were back in the youth age.
Yeah.
They are there supporting them. They're there working with them.
Where you're supposed to be.
They're there trying to help them.
That's it.
That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You still have to make sure that your family is taken care of.
Yes, sir.
Before you go outside, first take care of the household of Israel.
Yeah.
Then you go out. But see, a lot of our church people have problems continuing helping their own family.
Yeah.
They get tired and weary of them. I know that is. But see, that's what God's expecting us to get that right. You can't be an effective minister to your family if you're not doing it according to the word of God.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
Your heart is hardened to your own family.
Come on.
How are you going to give love to somebody else's family? Somebody help me here. Well, I know that's right. But that's where we fall at. We seem to have a problem with that. Also, the next thing. The first one is individuals. The second one, we belong to a family outside of church. And the next, we belong to the church.
Amen.
You and I are part of the body of Christ at Solid Rock.
Amen.
See, these churches, were this church, in the, I just read in the Bible, it was the church of Ephesus. There was other churches, churches of Philadelphia. They were all different places. You belong to a body here at this place. So your concern, your labor, your work should be directed and focused here, that God be glorified through this body. You say, well, I give to all the churches. You can do all you want. But I'm telling you that this is where your feeding comes. This is where your growth comes. This is where your fellowship is designed, because you have chosen to be a member of Solid Rock. It requires you to give your efforts and your time, your energy, to do what you can to help the growth of this church. Now, most of the growth of this church is on the outside. In other words, we need people outside. We got to bring them in. That's where we should be at. So we got these 3 points here. Because the scripture said, work out your soul salvation
with fear
and trembling. What? Fear and trembling. Because, see, some people don't work it out detailed. They don't think that it's important to do things the way God say do. You can't live any kind of way and say that I'm a born-again believer. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Somebody tell me, shut down, sit down. And I just want you to know. Because I tell you, when it's all said and done, the angel that writes night and day.
Come on.
He knows. He's written down where you have worshipped at.
Amen.
He knows where we are. He knows that Solid Rock is a church built on the Word. And he says, well, you were there around the Word of God. You should be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You know something about him. I know what you were being taught. I know where you heard the word on a regular basis.
Come on.
But yet you don't even tell nobody about Jesus. You know that Jesus loves them. And why aren't you telling them? You know you must be born again. You know you must repent from your sins. Let me say it again. You must what? Repent from your sins. A lot of churches don't even talk about repentance anymore. That's a word that's gone way outside.
Yeah.
Repentance. For the Bible said, except a man repent, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He got to repent. What does repent mean? Change from the way that you were going and go the righteous way. I'm going to really close, church. I didn't even get my first. I got 3 pages. I only went first page. And I'm telling you, because maybe I'll finish it up next Sunday. I ain't stopping on this. I ain't turning it down.
That's good,
see, that's how the devil wants me to do it. Shut it down. Because I feel like somebody.